Well, are you ready for God's word today? Always honored and excited to bring it to you. And today we're starting a brand new teaching series called Christ Crucified. And in case you're wondering, it is not built on that song that we like to sing around this place. It's actually that song and this series is built on a statement that the Apostle Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. And this statement is such a big statement. It's been on my mind over the last few months. And I just had this sense that our Easter series is going to be built on this statement. So Easter is in a few weeks. We're going to be reflecting on this statement that Paul makes. And so I want us to read it today because it lays a foundation for the whole series. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says this: "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." I would actually love for us to say this together out loud. Could we? Let's say it. "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, is Paul really telling us there's nothing more important? Like, we really don't need to know anything else. We don't have to have any other knowledge for life than that, than just Christ and him crucified. Is that just what our focus has to be 24/7, kind of just ignore other responsibilities? Is that what he's saying? I want to take you back to 2007 when I first stepped into full-time vocational ministry. I was the worship pastor here. You may not have known that. But I was the one leading worship, and it was such a calling on that I sensed on my life. So I'm so grateful for that opportunity to every Sunday to be involved in leading worship. And we were also, Kelly and I were in the young family stage. So at that time, our kids were probably 3, 5, and 7. And so we were in the young family stage, which is a little bit crazy too, and adjusting to this new job and new schedule. And so many Sundays would come and we would have times of worship just like we had today. And I would feel so grateful, and it was life-giving for me, and just to watch people connect with God and grow in their faith, I was so honored to be a part of that. And I had this little short drive home, about 10 minutes to our house, and just sitting in the car driving, just say, "God, thank you for allowing me to be part of this." It was just, I didn't feel like I deserved it, but I was so grateful for it. And then I would walk in the door of our home, and Kelly would be like, "Hey, this one needs a diaper change. You know, I'm making lunch and it's a little bit crazy right now." I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I just want to lead worship, you know." I was thinking that in my mind, forgetting that Kelly brought all three kids to church by herself and took all three kids home and was managing a Sunday morning so well, which, by the way, moms have an incredible ministry to their children while ministry's taking place here. And so, yeah, there's a couple moms that are like, "Yeah, tell them." So knowing Christ is not just like, I just wanna know Christ and I'm gonna ignore all of my life's responsibilities. It's really the opposite. How does knowing Christ influence every responsibility that you have? That's what we're gonna focus on over the next few weeks. And I think it's really important to know, who was the Apostle Paul who made this statement? Was he just some flaky guy that didn't have anything else going on in his life? And he's like, "Well, I'm just gonna focus on Christ crucified." Here's Paul. Paul was highly educated. He knew both philosophy and theology. He would have been trained as a Pharisee. And most likely he had the whole Old Testament memorized. And in my Bible, the Old Testament's about 900 pages. He would have had that memorized. So he understood the scripture. He understood Jewish law as well as Roman law. And he was skilled in persuasion and the art of communication. So he would go to the greatest thinkers of the first century and have these debates about philosophy and theology. And he would build a relationship with the political leaders in those cities. And he would talk to them about the message of who Jesus is on their level of intellect. He was highly educated. Not only that, he was an experienced businessman. He had a tent-making business, and he said, "This business would cover my expenses and the expenses of all the people traveling with me, so we wouldn't be a financial burden to anyone." And Paul said those words, "I determined to know nothing else except Christ and him crucified." Why? Why was that such a determination for him? To talk about Christ and him crucified. I mean, for me, I want to talk about Christ and him resurrected, right? The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me. That's what I want to be talking about. But Christ and Christ crucified, that makes me a little uncomfortable. It's crucifixion, when you find out what a crucifixion is, and really, historians all agree Jesus was a real human being who walked on this earth. Whether they believe in Christianity or not, there's historical evidence Jesus was a man who walked on the earth. There's historical evidence that Jesus was crucified. And when you get to know what a crucifixion is, why this innocent man named Jesus, it will make us a little uncomfortable. Because Jesus had to give up his divine privileges. He wasn't crucified because he was so weak and he just couldn't withstand the pressure of the Roman government. No, he opened up his arms and he willingly allowed them to crucify him because he gave up his divine privileges. He did not call angels down from heaven to stop it. He was rejected by his own. So he would have experienced incredible rejection from his disciples as well as from the Jewish people. And he suffered physically. Crucifixion was designed to torture a person to death so that a human feels excruciating pain the whole way until they take their last breath as capital punishment. Jesus experienced that. And Paul said, we need to know Christ. And him, if you don't know anything else about Christ, know Christ and him crucified. Why? I still come back to that question. Why? Why do we need to zero in on that? And here's why I think. I think we need to know Christ and him crucified because every person needs to come to terms with why Jesus would give up his life. Because it is so easy to downplay and downgrade Jesus to be your BFF or to be just a good moral teacher who gave us some nice principles to live by. So if you build your life on those principles, you're gonna have a successful life. But if that's how you view Jesus, he's just my BFF and he's just a good moral teacher who gave us some good principles to live by, it is very easy to ignore him. But Christ crucified, and this is where what I want you to know, and this is what this whole series is about. Number one, I want you to write this down. Christ crucified is God's plan for you to know him. This part of Jesus, that he was crucified, it reveals something about God's power and his wisdom and his love. Christ crucified reveals something about the humility of Jesus and the obedience and the submission that Jesus had to his Father. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. And it gives us an opportunity and a way to identify and really understand what did Jesus go through to deny himself, humble himself out of obedience to his Father for a purpose that would serve every, you know, humanity outside of himself. He laid down his life as a sacrifice for the salvation of humanity. That's the message of the cross. And this is what I believe Paul was getting at. So we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see how he sets this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So just jump back to chapter 1. Let's start with verse 18. Paul writes this. I think it's really helpful to get this context. He says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So, where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. You might be wondering, what is a Gentile? Well, if you're non-Jewish, if you didn't come from Jewish descent, then you would be considered a Gentile. You're in that category. But, Paul continues, to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. And that is the good news, the message of the cross. Made us right with God, made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Now, there is a lot packed in there, but what I see in here, there are three things that Christ crucified, or this message of the cross, there are three things that it reveals about God, and there are three things that it reveals about you and me. What does Christ crucified reveal about God? Number one, I'm gonna go through these quickly. God's wisdom will look foolish to human understanding, which is very important to remember, because the things that I find that make sense to my brain, I don't want to just assume that that's God's wisdom. Because what Paul is saying, the things that look foolish to human, our human understanding, it's actually a display of God's wisdom. Number two, God's power will look weak to human strength. So again, when my brain goes to, oh, I know what human strength is, I know what power, why we need to be in positions of power and influence and be strong as believers, what I think in my human understanding, I don't want to just assume that that's what God's strength and power and influence looks like. God's plan then, number three, is to use the things that look foolish and weak to humble those who think they are wise and strong. I don't know about you, but this is sobering to me. And it kind of course corrects for me, because I have a lot of opinions about what is human wisdom and knowledge and strength and power. And I don't want my human understanding of those things to influence incorrectly my understanding of God's word. And I think if we have to come back to, what do we think about this book? This is God's word, his holy word. So that we're not relying just on our human understanding and opinions and thoughts about how the world works and how you should function as a follower of Jesus. I'm just gonna kind of use willpower and just use mental logic to make sense of all of this. And Paul's saying, no, that's not the place to start. He said, look, I had so much education, and still with all of that, the thing that I always have to come back to is knowing Christ and him crucified. Because actually all of that education and all of that knowledge and all that understanding about philosophy and theology and Jewish law and Roman law, all of those things actually got in the way of seeing Jesus. So he was determined to know. So Christ crucified reveals those things about God, but what does it reveal to us, about us? Here's where I want to spend some time. Number one, it reveals this, that you cannot know God through human wisdom alone. Paul was saying some people seek signs from heaven above, so they're looking for the mystical. They're looking for something that's kind of outside of our understanding, and maybe there's, you know, how the stars align. That's going to give some kind of, it's going to point to the reality of God. So some people look to that. He said some other people, they look to human knowledge and wisdom to prove that God exists. So they're looking to science to make sense of who God is. And so do we just ignore human wisdom and knowledge and understanding? No, what we need to do is bring it under the authority of God's word. Bring all of our human understanding and wisdom and knowledge, bring that under the authority of God's word. How do we do that? Let me give an example. So recently, I just finished a book called The Inevitable, nonfiction book written by Kevin Kelly. And the premise of this book is it identifies 12 technological forces that will shape our world over the next 30 years. So I don't know Kevin Kelly's faith background, wasn't written from a faith perspective, but it was highlighting some realities how technology will shape us over the next 30 years, which I think is really important for us to understand because technology is so integrated into our world and into our lives, really into almost every area of our lives. And as that continues to change and artificial intelligence continues to improve, I think it's very important for us to be aware of it. So I'm finding this book very interesting. Well, the very first chapter, he points to a reality, the second law of thermodynamics. Now, does anyone know what the second law of thermodynamics, you know what that is? I had someone raise their hand in the 9 a.m. service, and then when I asked them to explain, they were like, nope, put their hand back down. So I don't see any hands. Anyone want to explain that? I remember these terms in school, but I just didn't remember anything. But I'll try to simplify it. Someone can probably explain it better than me. But the second law of thermodynamics states that everything is slowly falling apart. Did you know that? In other words, things left to itself, or something left to itself, will not improve on its own. It will become more disorderly. So the point he was making is that really life is about, and living is about maintenance. You have to maintain things. You have to improve it. And he said, technology, you know that if you upgrade something and then you use it longer and it's like, why is this not working right? So that's a law. Everything is gradually, but eventually slowing or falling apart. Which is interesting to me because it seems like the second law of thermodynamics contradicts the theory of evolution. But maybe that's a topic for another time. So what do we do with that? Well, to bring that under the authority of God's word, you know what made me think is it took me back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, God created man. He created them male and female. He created them in his own image. And he blessed them and commanded mankind to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, or govern it, or tend to it. So God has created humans to tend the earth he created because there's something called the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is slowly falling apart. And we see the evidence of this. If you're a gardener, you know that you don't go out to your flower beds in the spring and everything is perfect, right? You have to go out and tend it and you have to clean up. So gardening requires tending. Think about all the areas of life that need to be tended. I mean, pets need to be tended, right? They need to be cleaned up after. Then you need to get them groomed. Otherwise, they will go crazy. Human relationships need to be tended. Churches need to be tended. Businesses need to be tended. Just about every area of life need to be tended. Why? Because God created men and women to tend the earth. And so we bring this reality under the authority of God. It's not because we don't want to ignore human wisdom and knowledge, but we're bringing it under the authority of God's wisdom and understanding. And at the end of this book that Kevin Kelly wrote, talks about how the internet has become this super brain, right? At first, when it was invented, it was decentralizing information so everyone could contribute to this hub of information. And so you get kind of the smartest people all centralizing this knowledge and information called the internet. Well, now it's turned into a super brain. And with artificial intelligence, it's becoming this gigantic brain. And I wonder, the book doesn't say this, but I wonder if we are creating another Tower of Babel. But maybe that's a topic for another day. I don't know. And so I think what we need to realize from this passage of scripture is that our human wisdom, we wanna know, like there's a desire to know and there's a need to know, but that should never go above God's wisdom and understanding. And what Paul is saying, I determined to do this because you're not gonna naturally learn to submit your life and your will and your knowledge and understanding to Christ. That doesn't naturally happen. You gotta be determined to do it. And he said, the way to do that is to understand this aspect of Christ crucified. Second thing that it reveals about you and me is that once you truly know him, you can't unknow him. I don't know if that's a real word, but I put the dash there. But once you get to know Christ and him crucified, you get to truly know him, you can't unknow him. It's like my relationship with Kelly. We've been married for 27 years. I know her, she knows me. We're a happy family, I know you were thinking it. But if someone would say she's not a real person, I would say, you could not convince me that she's not real because I know her. And when you know Christ and him crucified, this aspect of him, his life, and what his crucifixion translated forward to resurrection on the other side. When you know him, you can't unknow him. And I know if you're a parent or a grandparent, maybe you have a friend who's walked away from faith, or you have a child or a grandchild who has walked away from the faith that they were raised in. I know, and I can imagine the heart that's heartbreaking to watch. But what I would say to you, you know, deconstructing faith is kind of like a popular term right now, or deconversion. But when somebody deconstructs their faith and they walk away from a version of Jesus, I think they're actually walking away from a version of Jesus that's not the real thing. And so Paul is inviting every person to not just know about someone, not just know the religious systems and structures of Christianity, but to know Jesus. And when you know him personally, nothing will persuade you to walk away. And if you choose to walk away after you know him personally, there's a very dark warning for that in scripture. But when you know him personally, not just know about him, storms may come, and the rains may fall, and the floods may rise, and you might be abandoned by people that you thought you could trust. But when you know him, you cannot unknow him. And that brings me to the final point that God, what Christ crucified reveals about you and me, and really about our relationship with God, is that God wants you to know him, not just do stuff for him. And I don't know about you, but I'm so good at doing stuff for God. Or having that desire. But you know why? Because I like to do stuff for God because it makes me feel good about myself. And I think Paul was really good at doing stuff for God. And I wonder if that's why he was so committed and so determined not to just do stuff. I read this quote from Zach Neese. worship leader, wrote a book, and he said, God doesn't want to use you, he wants to know you. And man, through the years, I have said, God, I just want to be used by you. I probably have said that here publicly. God just wants to use you. And he does. There's some truth that God has an incredible purpose on your life. But before he uses you for his the purpose on your life, he wants to know you and he wants you to know him. And here's what Paul said as he was wrestling through this in Philippians 3. Chapter 3, he's laying out all of the qualifications and accomplishments of why he is really more qualified than anybody else and why he should be approved, why he's kind of giving himself, you know, commending himself. And so he lists all these things. I want you to hear them. First, Philippians 3, 5. He says, here's how he starts his list. He was starting a list. I should have confidence in my own accomplishments. That's what he's listing here. First one, verse 5, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm not sure why you would brag about that, but I guess that was a big deal in the first century. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. And I don't know if he emphasized the word real, but that's how I read it. It's like, I'm not like those posers or fake Hebrews. I'm the real deal. So that was his second one. He said, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. We already heard about that. Verse 6 says, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. Think about that. Paul knew this book. He would have had so much of it memorized. He understood the law, but he was so zealous about keeping the rules that he actually missed Jesus to the point where he was persecuting those who had put their faith in Jesus. Until Jesus got his attention on the road to Damascus, as Paul was actively going, getting Christians and getting them thrown in prison and approving their death, as he was on his way for another one of those missions, Jesus appears to him and says, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? What Paul thought he knew about religion actually blinded him from seeing who Jesus was. And I don't want that for me. I don't want that for us. As for righteousness, Paul said, I obeyed the law without fault. And I bet he was saying that sincerely. I don't think I could say that. I couldn't stand up here and say that to you. But I bet he could say that. But look what the conclusion he's come to, verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Why? Because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul got to this place even though he was so highly educated and he had all of these accomplishments and all of these letters after his name. He got to this place where he said, none of that is worth anything. It's all garbage compared to knowing Christ. He said, yeah, I want to know Christ and Christ resurrected, because there's new life there. The same power that raised him from the dead lives in us. Yeah, I want to know him that way. But I also want to know if it requires me to identify with his suffering, that's fine too, because I want to know Christ. There was a desire in him that when I hear that's what I want for my life. Not because I don't have any other important responsibilities in my life. I just want to sit in my office and reflect on Christ crucified. No, I want Christ crucified. I want to knowing who Jesus is. I want that to shape every other area of my life. I want to bring my understanding of how the world works under the authority of God's word. Because that's what's going to transform. So if you're a parent, you're a mom or a dad, if you need wisdom, it's very natural to try and gain human wisdom to face whatever kind of problem you're facing. And I wonder if we said, like Paul, I'm determined to know Christ crucified and allow knowing Christ crucified to influence how I parent or how I treat my spouse or how I handle customer service. Or how I behave as a pastor, or how I function as a leader, or how I manage my money, or what words I say to other people, every area of my life, my view of people, my view of how the world works, my view of the political systems in our nation, my view of every single area. I want it to be through this grid of knowing Christ and Him crucified. And on the other side of that, Paul is saying, you're gonna start to see all the accomplishments that you found your identity in are gonna be simply garbage, not because it wasn't worthwhile doing all of that. It's not the most important thing that's gonna change your life. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for your word. So we just take a moment to pause and say, what are you speaking to me through your word? God, I love how the Spirit of God lives inside of every person who has placed their faith in you. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify to Jesus, to reveal who Jesus is in our lives. So God, I pray that right now you would reveal to every person so we could say, I'm determined to know Christ. I might be distracted by the things of this world. I might be tempted to give my attention to other things, but I'm determined to know Christ and Him crucified. No, nothing else. Nothing else is gonna be as important as knowing that. What if you made that commitment today? What would that look like for your life? That's what I want. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for this church. So just pray that you would teach us how to live knowing Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? I don't want to dismiss without giving you an opportunity today to make a decision to follow Jesus. I mean, this whole passage of scripture that we read is an invitation. And you might be hearing this and thinking, man, I've got a lot of stuff to clean up in my life before I come and make this decision. Or you might think, my life's pretty good right now without Jesus. Why do I need Him? Maybe you can identify with the Apostle Paul. Trying to achieve, trying to accomplish, trying to do all these things to feel good about himself, and he thought he was doing stuff for God, and he actually was working against God. See, I want you to know God's wisdom and power. What looks like giving up your life, choosing this way of life, coming as you are, Jesus would just say, come as you are. What looks like just this giving up your rights is actually the pathway to be made right with God, to be made brand new. And so I want to invite you to make a decision today to follow Jesus, surrender your life to Him as Savior and Lord, and know Christ crucified that shapes every other area of your life. That's what I want for you. And if you're ready to make that decision today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer out loud as a prayer of decision. It's just a simple prayer, but it sets you on a new path. And I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. So would you just say this? Would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose from the dead. I repent of my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and receive forgiveness. So my old life is gone, and a new life has begun with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Power of the gospel has the power to transform somebody's life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to invite you to do something that takes a lot of courage, because as a church, we just love to walk alongside you best that we can. The ushers have a Bible for you. So if you made that decision today and prayed that prayer, would you just put your hand up in the air, unashamed of this decision, till an usher sees you and they'll give you that Bible. And then after the service, I want to invite you to stop by Connections, the two rooms on either side of our auditorium. We have a team of people in there that would love to talk with you and pray with you, walk with you the best that we can, because this journey of faith, this journey of following Jesus, it's not meant to be walked alone. And we want to walk with you however we can. All right. Well, are you thankful for God's word today? Man, I pray that it encourages you and challenges you in your faith. It's really good being together today. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have our prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you. Something's heavy on your heart, please feel free to come. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, maybe today was your day, or maybe you have recently, or maybe you've been a follower of Jesus, your next step is to be water baptized. Water baptism is a very significant moment in the life of every follower of Jesus, because it's the moment, it's kind of this line in the sand where you identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When you go down in the water, it's like Jesus being buried. When you come out, it's like identifying with this new life in Christ. And so it's a very important step for every person to take. It's for you. It's not for me. It's not for the church. It's for you. And so if you're ready to take that step, you can sign up for baptism. worshipcenter.org/baptism. We'd love to help you take that step as well. All right. Well, you can all stand. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. And don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, pursue the purpose God has in your life. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. See you here next Sunday.